Now, please open your Bible to Book of Hosea. Book of Hosea, chapter 6. The very first book in the minor prophets, the Hosea, chapter 6, first three verses. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Here is God's holy words. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the later and former rain to the earth. Amen. Hosea, the first book of the 12 minor prophets, might not be a very popular book to preach on. It was the time when the nation of Israel was already torn into two, Judah to south and north, the Israel. Which happened not long after King Solomon's death. Hosea served northern Israel and ministered quietly for as long as 50 or 60 years. What Hosea makes more known is that God speaks about the relationship between him and Israel through Hosea's personal family struggles. God keeps asking Hosea to bring his adulterous wife, Gomer. This morning, as we look at this little-known prophet, Hosea, I want your ears, hearts, and minds to be attentive to one simple lesson. One simple lesson found in verse 3. Let us know the Lord. Congregation, follow on to know the Lord, then you shall know him. I would like to begin with the premise of knowing God. There is a premise to know God. In the book of Hosea, the northern kingdom of Israel, just like Gomer, Hosea's unfaithful wife, Israel was accused by God of having a spirit of prostitution in their hearts, in Hosea 5:4. And people were idolatrous in Hosea 8:11. They ignored God's law, 8:12. Their lives were unjust and unfaithful. When they were politically in trouble, they took the wrong path as well. In Hosea 5:13, we can find the people of Israel relying on something else rather than the Lord. It is said, Israel went to Assyria. Israel thought that strong nations like Assyria could help protect and save them, so they put their trust in Assyria rather than our God. It's like the people of Israel went to the wrong physician for healing. You wouldn't see a urologist to have eye surgery. You wouldn't visit an OB doctor to get a knee replacement. You will need to find the right doctor for your specific health problem. Thus, the prophet Hosea gives Israel this simple command: return to the Lord. That is the premise of knowing God. It is for sure that God's judgment is upon sinners, and He will punish those who are against Him. Yet, it is also for sure that God is slow to anger, and He is merciful and gracious. He longs to forgive and restore those who are rebellious against Him, if they confess their sins. You can recall John's word in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our faithful Lord lets you hear His wonderful promise. He has torn us, but He will heal us. He has striken us, but He will bind us up. The verb return here is actually repeated 6 times in the book of Hosea. And this verb return encourages us to take 2 actions. Turning from sins and turning toward God. We call this in theological terms repentance and conversion. Once the Holy Spirit illuminates your heart and mind, you will find and admit your sins, and then you return to the Lord. Then we are able to live in God. And it's possible because of Christ's death and resurrection. That's actually what we see in verse 2, which linked to Christ's resurrection and our participation in His death and resurrection. It says, after 2 days, He will revive us. On the 3rd day, He will raise us up that we may live in His sight. Christ is the one who makes us alive. Christ alone saves His people. If you trust in this resurrected Christ, you then live before God. On this verse 2, one pastor also says, the evidence and the authenticity of Israel's repentance and their conversion is apparent from the fact that he wants to live in God's presence. He continues, Israel wants to stay home. He doesn't want to stray from his father's side anymore. This is not a stay-home order, but rather, this is a willingness to stay home. Like Psalm 27, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all days of my life. So after turning away from sins and turning to our God, What comes next? Where is the prophet Hosea calling us to? What is it that follows for Christians to do in the house of the Lord? How can I prevent myself from straying from my father's house and instead grow and be fruitful in the relationship with my Lord? Prophet Hosea gives a simple answer for these questions. Let us know the Lord. This is our second heading. Pursuit of knowing the Lord. Again, we were told that Northern Israel turned away from God and sinned against him in various ways. But most of all, on behalf of God, Hosea spoke to the people that they were destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea wrote regarding their spiritual condition in 4:1, there is no faithfulness or steadfast love and no knowledge of God in the land. In 5:4 and 5, they have not known the Lord, but they were full of their own pride. In 8:12, they regarded knowing God as a strange thing. They rejected the knowledge of God and they neglected the love of God. Without acknowledging and understanding the word of God, it is not surprising that the people of Israel went in different and wrong directions. Think about this. If your three or four years old child doesn't know the value of money, he or she would pick 5 pennies rather than 1 Benjamin Franklin bill. This is something we grown-ups would probably never do because we know which of two is more valuable. But this is what happened in Israel. They ignored to know God, who is the Lord of Lords and who is the King of Kings. So their hearts and minds were too dimmed to choose the right directions. Thus, Hosea, who calls them to return, now simply asks them to know the Lord. Regarding knowing God, I want to bring you three small things. First, I would like to distinguish between knowing God and knowing about God. Probably some of you or many of you already knew this difference. We need both knowing God and knowing about God, but they have different meanings. For example, what if I earned my PhD degree in missiology, study of missions, but I've never been into any mission field. I'm not interested in being sent out and have no passion for the lost. This would be an example of knowing about mission, but not experiencing it personally. The fundamental difference between knowing God and knowing about God is similar. It is about personal relationships. Knowing God is personal. Without forming and engaging in a relationship with God, you will not know God. You can study about the will, natures, and attributions of God through all different kinds of theological books. However, you still cannot say you know him personally unless you have a personal relationship with him. If you know God personally, all biblical and theological knowledge you've learned can help nurture your relationship with God. On the other hand, however, if you know about God without knowing Him, this knowledge will not lead you to relationship with God. So, what knowledge does Hosea want us to hold on to? Which one? It is not merely knowing about God, but knowing God. It's clear, especially when we understand the overarching theme of the book of Hosea, which is the covenant relationship between God and His people. Furthermore, as we see verse 2 teaching us that we live in God's presence or God's sight, being with God and living in His presence surely means that we have a certain relationship with Him. A commentator once said, "We shall know experimentally and practically how holy, how good, how faithful God is." You know the meaning of the word holy, good, and faithful in English more than I know. And you've heard or studied about God's holiness, goodness, and faithfulness through messages from this pulpit, from Bible study, or from personal readings. But has your heart ever trembled when you think of God's holiness? Have your lips ever praised God's goodness with joy from bottom of your heart? Have you ever experienced God's faithfulness in your life? You shall know God experientially and practically. You must want to deepen your knowledge of God as your Father, your Lord, and your Savior. You should shift your way of studying God from wanting to know about Him to wanting to know Him. Please continue to enhance your knowledge about God, but also meditate on this knowledge before the sight of God. Just like a cow chewing its cud over and over again. And let your knowledge of God lead you into prayer and praise to God. In addition to knowing God experientially, secondly, I also want you to notice the verb pursue in verse 3. Other English Bible versions translate this verb into press on or follow on. These expressions, pressing on to know the Lord or pursuing the Lord, give us a better sense of what is the mindset to knowing God. The level of difficulty in pressing on to know God might be greater than we think. It's like one army chasing the other army. Can you imagine how eagerly and intensely does the army chase its enemy on the battlefield? This is a task that will put your life at risk. For this type of pursuit, day and night are no longer distinguishable. And thinking of the King James Version translation, follow on instead of press on or pursue, this word following on captured my attention and was linked to one feature we commonly use on social media, Facebook or Twitter, whatever. Do you follow someone or a group of people in your social media? If you do, that means you want to know what is going on with that person or that group, and you are so eager to have up-to-date information, isn't it? Isn't it true that you can literally spend hours reading and commenting on posts which you follow? How about you following on to know your God? What do you follow most eagerly? Is your Lord on your follow list? Is he the only one or one of many on your follow list? Friends, we are called to follow on to know the Lord. One last thing I want to draw out of this second heading is that this call is delivered to us corporately. Back to verse 1, we found the same pattern. Let us return. And now, let us know God. Both are using the first person plural, not singular. It is said, let us return, not let me return, and then let us know, not let me return, and let me know. Why do we not see each other growing in the knowledge of God? I'm not saying who knows more about theology or the Bible, but I'm saying to encourage you as a congregation and as a body of Christ to come to the Lord so that you may have a close relationship with him. So let us encourage, exhort, admonish, teach, instruct, and build up one another. And let us also speak the truth to and pray for one another so that we can build up a congregation where there is a willingness to know God, to love God, and to pursue God better and more deeply. Let us know God. Considering Hosea calling us to return and know God, I want to show you some encouragements found in knowing God. Our third and last heading this morning is promise from knowing God. Promise from knowing God. If you look at the end of chapter 5, we see a parallel structure between God's promise and God's call. In chapter 5 and chapter 6. In 5:15, God's promise was given. It is written that he will return again to his place. And in 6:1, the Lord instructed Israel to come and return. And following verse, God confirmed his promise again that he will come to those who return to him. So here, we see God's wonderful promises when the people of Israel genuinely return and pursue him. He will turn away from his wrath. He will turn to his place. He will heal them. He will bind them up. He will revive them and he will raise them up. And looking at the second portion of verse 3, we see the metaphors showing his promises, confirming his promises. It says, He will come to us like the rain. Now, I will read from the previous one. His going forth is established as the morning, or as morning sun. He will come to us like the rain, like the later and former rain to the earth. In the remaining time, I would like to consider those two metaphors, the morning sun and the rain in this verse 3. And that we reply this promise into our Christian life. First, let's think of the morning sun or the dawn. To the people of Israel in the Old Testament, the dawn or morning sun is their hope and their expectation for the coming of the Messiah. And to us, it would be a reminder of our faith in Lord Jesus Christ. Every morning, we expect the sun to rise. It's no-brainer. The sun always rises regardless of the weather condition. Cloudy, rainy, snowy, or sunny. We may not be able to see the sun because of the fall weather condition. However, the sun always rises. The light being transmitted by the sun brightens the day in spite of all these weather elements. These visual obstructions, such as clouds, rain, or snow, are like those obstacles in our lives, keeping us in the darkness. Though we may not be able to experience God's presence because of our daily obstacles, we know that God's presence is in every Christian life. Congregation, let me ask this question. Will the sun rise tomorrow? As surely as the sun rises, we should know the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. As surely as the sun rises, we should know that God is working and controlling over everything, especially for our salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. As surely as the sun rises, we should know that Christ will come into our heart and we will no longer walk in the darkness, but we'll have the light of the life. As surely as the sun rises, it is certain that we shall know our God and His wondrous work when we pursue to know Him. Let me ask the same question again. Will the sun rise tomorrow? If you say yes, please remember that God's promises given to you and given to those who return to God are sure and certain as we keep pressing on our uncertain life. Will the sun rise tomorrow? If you say yes, please be encouraged and be comforted by knowing God, who is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. How about rain? The state of Michigan gets either rain or snow on average 131 days per year. Annually, we have 34 inches of rain and 64 inches of snow. So 100 inches in total, according to Google. In comparison, the land of Israel gets 22 inches of rain, only 62 days per year, and very little snow. So we see less rain in the land of Israel. And without doubt, rain greatly and immediately affected the lives of people in ancient times. You probably recall the story of Joseph. His brothers came to Egypt because of the great drought in Palestine. Back to our text, verse 3. This verse actually talks about two types of rain, former and later rain. The former rain, also called earlier or first rain in the Bible, comes at the beginning of the rainy season, around October. And the later rain comes at the end of a rainy season, in April. To help your understanding, let me read one verse from Deuteronomy 11:14. Deuteronomy 11:14. Says, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the later rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. Why are the former rain and later rain crucial to them? Why it's crucial to them? What is important to them? It's because they come when it is time to sow and time to harvest. What I want to say here is that the rain comes in due time. Whether the rain is light or heavy, it is the timing that matters. That timely rain revives the ground and makes it fruitful. Likewise, our God will come to you. He will find you. His grace will be upon you in His perfect timing when you need it. We begin our sermon with our pursuit to know the Lord. And now we end our sermon with the promise that our Lord knows us. God knows you, and He knows what you need. He knows the perfect timing. Put your trust in Him, Him alone, and rest on the confidence that God knows you. You may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. He will surely come like the former and later rain, because He knows your need. This promise is given to you and me. And remember the words in Philippians saying, my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Congregation, be encouraged and be comforted by knowing that God knows you. Please know the Lord. Follow on to know the Lord. There is no exception from this call if you are in Christ. Whether you are a lifelong Christian or a new Christian, whether you are office bearers or lay people at this church, press on to know the Lord every moment in your life. And if you are parents, this is the most important mission in your parenthood. Let your children know the Lord. Teach them with God's word. Pray to God that your children may know who God is. Then you will know Him. You will find Him who is like the dawn and the former and later rain. Premise of knowing the Lord. Pursuit of knowing the Lord. And promise of knowing the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, thank you for your words we read and heard this morning. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of your law. Oh Lord, we've heard that an ounce of heart knowledge is worth a ton of hidden learning. Help us, our knowledge of God, go beyond our head knowledge. Satisfy our heart and satisfy our soul. We pray that we, by your grace, follow on to know you more, better, and deeper. Also help us to remember that you know our every thought and need. You remember our hairs and you put our tears into your bottle. Meet us when we call out your name. O Lord, come to us in due course as the showers, as the spiritual rains that water our souls and minds. We pray in precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.